ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Doris talks with my prayer, text 43.
Vishvasya janmastiti samyamate
Vishvasya janmastiti samyamate
Kritavatarasya parambhujante
Kritavatarasya parambhujante
Prajema sarve saranam yadisha
Prajema sarve
Smittam prayachyatya vayam sapunsam Vishvasya janmastiti samyamate
Vishvasya janmastiti samyamate
Vithavatarasya parambhujante Prajnema sarve saranam yadisha Smittam prayachyatya vayam sapunsam
Translation. O Lord, you assume incarnations of a creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. And therefore, we all take shelter of your lotus feet, because may always, O Lord, remember and encourage your devotee. For the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestations, there are three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. They are the controllers or masters of the three modes of your nature, which cause the phenomenal manifestations. Vishnu is the master of the mode of goodness, Brahma is the master of the mode of passion, and Maheshwara is the master of the mode of ignorance. There are different kinds of devotees according to the modes of nature. Persons in the mode of goodness worship Lord Vishnu. Those in the mode of passion worship Lord Brahma. And those in the mode of ignorance worship Lord Shiva. All three of these deities are incarnations of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because he is the original Supreme Personality of God. The demigods directly refer to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and not to the different incarnations. The incarnation of Vishnu in the material world is, however, directly worshipped by the demigods. It is learned from various scriptures that the demigods approach Lord Vishnu in the ocean of milk and submit their grievances whenever there is something difficult in the administration of universal affairs. Although they are incarnations of the Lord, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship Lord Vishnu, and thus they are also counted amongst the demigods, and not as the Supreme Personality of God. Persons who worship Lord Vishnu are called demigods, and persons who do not do so are called asuras, or demons. Vishnu always takes the part of the demigods, but Brahma and Shiva sometimes take the side of the demons. It is not that they become one in interest with them, but sometimes they do something in order to gain control over the demons. All the hands turn out this step, and I must love you. I mean, the present my shaking to the yes, how to get control over the demons. This cosmic manifestation has an overall purpose, and in our individual life is going to make sense. We've got to see how we fit in with the overall purpose of the cosmos. Otherwise, we can be acting in a very disjointed, disconnected, fragmented way, and we wonder why our life is filled with stress and emptiness and dissatisfaction. Krishna consciousness teaches you the art of how to actually work with the universe, how to be a part of the universe. In this way, you can feel the great majesty and opulence of being aligned with Krishna's purposes. Krishna's incarnations, the avatars, are constantly coming to this universe in order to fulfill the purpose of the Lord. That is, those of the enemies who have forgotten Krishna, who feel some apparent state of separation from the Lord, they should be reminded that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That separated state is only an appearance, because we can never be away from Krishna. As the Lord explained to Brahma in the Chakrasodhi verse, even when you think that there is something separate from Krishna, even when you think that there's something that's not Krishna, that's also Krishna. Now, how are you going to get away? Even in your conditioned state, when you go around looking at the world and yourself as if Krishna's far away, who knows if Krishna exists, but I exist, and my material desires for sense gratification are real, and this world around me is for real, as long as it submits to my plans for enjoyment. Definitely real. When we look at the world in that way, still we are not separate from Krishna, because the energy that allows you to have this delusion that there's no Krishna, or that Krishna doesn't matter, or that Krishna is you know, not so important. That energy of delusion belongs to Krishna. When you fully understand what's going on in existence, then you surrender to Krishna. Ikimata bhajante mam buddha bhava samandhata. First there has to be buddhi. There must be intelligence. Understanding what's going on around you. Now this is a very rare thing these days. Intelligence. To the extent that you can actually understand how the universe is going on, what's its purpose, and how do you fit in. Buddhi needs to understand that the Lord has not abandoned the conditioned souls. He's constantly coming in incarnations in every species of life. The Bhagavatam, the first canto, says, Deva Tiryam Nirajaju. The Lord comes as demigod. Vamana Deva, the dwarf incarnation. The Lord comes as apparently the lower species of animals. Varaha, the Lord of Gore, Matsya, fish incarnation. And the Lord comes like a human being. Niraj, Krishna, Balaram. But actually, in every species of life, the Lord is appearing. But we are responsible only to know the incarnations that are listed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, don't ask about the vegetable incarnations. But it is a fact. The Lord appears in every species of life and acts according to the capacity of that species for understanding, and the Lord acts in terms of the problems of that particular species. Therefore, the Bhagavatam concludes that just like you cannot count the waves in the ocean, similarly, you cannot count all the incarnations of Godhead. You can't count them all, but you're responsible to know and recognize the ones that are listed in Shastra. Now, we are giving such sublime information because once you understand the purpose of the universe, then you don't do crazy things anymore. You see, if you think that this world is meant for your enjoyment, you're going to do a lot of crazy things before your next death comes. You're going to implicate yourself in a lot of sinful reactions. You're going to destroy your intelligence. You'll increase the impurities of your existence because you don't understand what you're doing here. But what happens when we're in contact with the mode of passion? We just want to act and do and achieve and acquire and express ourselves, even though we don't have a clue as to what's going on. This is the great miracle of Maya. You don't know anything when you're in Maya. You can be the most educated person, but you don't know anything. You are carrying on so many activities. Prakate Priyamanani, Unayatamani Sorrows. The modes of nature are pushing you this way and that way. Even if you know that the modes of nature, the laws of nature are pushing you around, still you don't care. Let nature's laws act upon me. It's all part of life. Prakate Priyamanani, Unai Karmani Sorrows. Krishna explains in the Gita. You take so many of your decisions to be self-actuated when actually you're simply responding to the modes of material nature. They're yanking you by the ear. But what do you think? Ahamkara, Vibhutatma. Because we're Vibhuta. Buddha, as everyone knows, means fool, and Vibhuta means super fool. So, Ahamkara, Vibhutatma, Katava, if you want to say, these super fools think, I've got so many plans. I've got so many goals. I am a genuine, productive human being. I'm a social climber. I'm an achiever. You crown yourself with so many titles and designations of what you think you are. So I'm a nice person. I'm a charitable person. I'm a caring person. I'm a sensitive person. I'm a fun-loving person. I'm just a good old
ordinary person.
And then put out and you put value to yourself. That is the symptom of a conditioned soul. Independent of Krishna, you want to add some value or put some luster to your life. Once you understand the purpose of the cosmos, then you can be peaceful. Aham savasya bhavavo matsa savam pravartate iti matsa pajante imam. When you actually understand that everything is Krishna's energy, then you get smart and you realize, I should be relating to Krishna. Buddha bhava samandrita. That bhava samandrita means the emotions of Krishna consciousness. First you have to have some smarts, some buddhi, to know what's going on. What is the purpose of this cosmos? Is it for my sense dedication, or is it for my reformation? Those devotees who are going to be serious in Krishna consciousness, they understand that this universe is meant for their reformation. Therefore, such devotees submit to the reformatory process. They come here with the idea that, Krishna, how can you reform me? They look around and see in the temple community what are the facilities for reformation. They're eager, how can I become purified? Instead of, well, what's around here for my pleasure? What's the program for, you know, exalting me? And what's the program for giving me what I think I need? No, such persons cannot fully benefit from Krishna's devotional community. Although it is a fact that any way to come in contact with Krishna, there is benefit. But we're talking about the full benefit that the Lord wants to give. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, did not appear 500 years ago just to give little tiny benefit. They want to give everything, the whole storehouse of love of Krishna. That's what's going on. This is the meaning of the universe. Gornatai, Sisi Gornatai have appeared. And the more that we punch it up with dances, the more this universe becomes flooded with love of Krishna. This is the reality. But we see something else. Why? Because we have this crazy desire to be the enjoyer. We are going to be Purusha, although we are Prakriti. We're going to be the enjoyer, even though we are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. But in this way, we have so many identity crises. We do so many crazy things. We become fools, birth after birth, muha, jambi, jambi, and we never wake up and try to see what is the overall purpose of my environment. How can I fit in? Once you understand the overall purpose of the cosmos, then you can properly align yourself. You become peaceful. There's buddhi, intelligence. You're not just living in an ocean of air. You're not just having your feet on the ground. You are living amidst Krishna's system, Krishna's environment. Now what is Krishna doing? He's coming again and again to offer you a chance how to get out of material existence. He's displaying the sweetest pastimes, just like this Damodara Leela, so dear to our hearts. The Lord is doing that on purpose to attract your attention. Because you are a person, you're part of the Supreme Person, naturally you're hankering for loving pastimes. So the Lord comes to this world and displays pastimes that even the Lord of Vaikuntha is amazed by. Uddhava points this out in the third canto. That, well, Krishna comes as the original personality diet and displays such personal activities that even the Lord of Vaikuntha loses his pride. Specifically, the Lord displays his pastimes in Vrindavan and the Gopis. But even his Dwarka Leela with the queen of Dwarka puts the Lord of Vaikuntha in such a state that he loses his pride. That is really the statement. Once we understand what's going on, then we start to align our life. This universe is a combination of matter and spirit, and the combination of the two, matter and spirit, has a particular purpose. I'm supposed to understand that as soon as I turn my head away from Krishna, I'm shackled to this material body, although I'm spirit soul. Somehow, by the Lord's arrangement, He has caused the inferior energy to overwhelm the superior energy. Normally, that shouldn't happen. As pure spirit soul, we should not be overwhelmed by the inferior material energy. But Krishna can make that happen because Krishna is the master of all energies. Now, besides our imprisonment in this world, there is also the most extraordinary mercy being given simultaneously. Shishi, Gaura, and I are flooding the world with love of Krishna. Now, what am I doing in relation to that love of God? Am I taking advantage of that for myself? And am I also distributing that love of God to others? Because this is what's happening. Don't get so distracted by all the constant crazy events in this world. Oh, there's a war in Afghanistan. Oh, there's something happening here. This political system there. And this political leader here. And on it goes. Don't be so caught up in that. Understand what's really going on in this world. The real current events are the dancing of Gauranatai and the Sankirtan party. That's the real current event. That is the most significant thing happening in this universe. Gauranatai have appeared here, and they have flooded the universe with love of God. Now, who will get the credit for assisting them in their pastimes? Whoever assists Srisi Gauranatai in their pastimes of spreading love of Krishna everywhere, they are the most holistic persons. They are the most natural persons. They are the most balanced persons. How can you be natural, holistic, and balanced if you're not in line with what's happening in the cosmos? Now, if you want to be in line with what's happening in the cosmos, you have to deal with the incarnations, the avatars. And what is the special thing about Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya? Parama karuna pahun vijana nithai purata. Sava avatar sashiromani kevala anandajana. These two lords, Nityananda and Chaitanya, what is the special thing about them? Parama karuna, extremely merciful. Sava avatar sashiromani. They are the essence of all incarnation. And what's their mission? Kevala Ananda Kanda. The Kanda, the path that they are teaching, is Kevala Ananda, pure bliss. This is the real current event. And if we assist these two people, then very easily we become Krishna conscious. So, Bhakti Yoga doesn't require so much navel gazing. To carry out Prabhupada's work doesn't mean that all day we have to stare at navels and, well, who are we as Hare Krishnas? And what are we really supposed to be doing? And what Prabhupada gave us is what he gave us. Is that really applicable these days? And what should we be doing right now? And yeah, there's a lot of suffering people out there, but I don't know. This is not being in line with the cosmos. There's action happening. There are current events happening. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda's mercy is spreading. As soon as you start catching hold of their coattails, so to speak, their dhoti, then you see what's going on. This is happening whether I'm tuned in or not. Then you become peaceful because of intelligence. You can see the overall framework that you're operating in. Anybody knows you have a brain that unless you can see the whole framework you're operating in, you can't be effective with your individual life. Now, when you see the overall framework of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then you get the intelligence. And from intelligence, from buddhi, is bhava samandana. Buddha bhava samandana. You get the emotions of Krishna consciousness. Yes, Krishna consciousness is very emotional. But first there has to be some brain. And the brains are the result of purification. Then you can actually feel bhava samandana. How Krishna is everywhere, Krishna has his purpose, is always being fulfilled. That is an important characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His will is always being achieved. What we are trying to educate ourselves about, basically it's two things. The Lord's opulence and the Lord's sweetness. First, we have to understand how Krishna controls everything. Without understanding that, we'll think that, oh, this world is meant for me to decide how things should go on. No. There's not much for you to decide except, shall I surrender to Krishna or shall I not? That is the question. And as you all know, even when you choose to reject Krishna, still you're dealing with Krishna. Just like the prison is still part of the state, but it's for those who have rejected the laws of the state. You can't get away, even in prison. You're in a different department of the state. Similarly, even in the material world, you're in a different part of Krishna's supervision. Once you are at peace with the Lord's control, then you can start appreciating the Lord's sweetness. Just like this Damodara Leela. Namavishwaram Satchitanandarupam. First of all, Satchavrata Muni, this eternally perfect prayer. The Shastra describes that Satchavrata Muni, of this Damodarastic prayer, came out of his mouth. It's recorded in the Padma Prad. It's not so much that he made up, but it's the eternally perfect prayer that manifests from his mouth. So first, he's offering his obeisances to the Supreme Controller. Namamishwaram. Let's make it clear, this baby, this little boy, Damodar, don't make a mistake, Indra did. This little boy is the Supreme Ishwar. And first we're going to offer our obeisances to the Lord as Ishwar. You know, you packed over on Buddha, and you heard about Indra's mistake. Who is this talkative little boy, Krishna? The residents of Vrindavan, they've gone crazy accepting his words. They don't understand the complete cause and manifestation. They don't know that I, Indra, am in charge. They dare to listen to that talking to little boy Krishna. So, Satyavrata Muni immediately clears up any confusion or doubt. Namamishwara! We're offering our obeisances to the Supreme Control. And what is the nature of that Supreme Controller? Satchitananda. His rupa, his form, is composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Then immediately Satchitananda, when he knows of the sweetness, lasa kundalam go kule rajamana. He's got earrings that are glistening, hanging from his ears. And sometimes those earrings, they kiss his cheeks. Cheeks that are only kissed by Mother Yasoda, or it can refer to Krishna's dearest consort too. Those cheeks are meant for them, but the earrings are kissing them. And this is all happening in Braja, Krishna's special pleasure neighborhood. He's the Ishvara, he's the Supreme Controller, but he has a special neighborhood in which he comes under the control of his devotees by his own agreement. So, Guruswasa Kampa Chire Sitta Glaya Damodam Bhaktiva. She's captured, Mother Yasoda, she's captured Krishna from behind. And she's got a stick in her hand. And baby Krishna is shaking in fright so much that his pearl necklaces are shaking on his neck. And he's rubbing his eyes with his two lotus hands. Karambhoja Yukmena. His eyes are filled with tears. He's
rubbing his eyes and shaking as if to shake the tears out of his eyes. What is Krishna thinking? If I really put on a good show that I'm very afraid my mother won't chastise me. So he's really injured. He's shaking, he's sobbing again and again. Tears are falling from his eyes, he's rubbing his eyes. He's really into it. Because this is how he's enjoying. This is how he's afraid. He's far enjoying. I'm a little boy, and I know I've done wrong. And my mother's going to chastise me, but I'm going to put on such a show of fear that she's not going to do it. Because she's there with a stick in her hand. Now, what is Mother Yasoda thinking? This is my boy, and he's done wrong. If I don't chastise him, he won't grow up properly. So I'm doing my duty out of maternal love. But then, Krishna, baby Krishna, puts on such a show that Mother Yasoda starts thinking, oh, he's not good. He's so afraid of me. She puts down the stick. And she decides, I have to do something to chastise him. I will bind him with rope. Now, what is the thing about binding the Lord? Stitta Gaila Damodana Bhakti Bhata. The Lord is actually not bound by the rope. This is the mystery of that lila. The Supreme Controller is allowing himself to be bound by his devotee's devotion, Bhakti Bhata. That is the only thing that can bind the Lord. In fact, this whole Damodara lila is reciprocation with the devotees. It shows how powerful the devotees are, that the Lord will submit to their desires, their plan. That is the most intimate secret of the cosmos. So you're getting different levels of universal meaning, so you can feel how you belong to existence on different levels. In the most intimate meaning of existence, you can understand that the Lord agrees to come under the control of his devotees. But the Lord only displays that intimacy in front of devotees who understand the power of devotees. He doesn't display these leelas in front of the merciless. He only displays these leelas in front of those who understand the potency of bhakti. Adhyeshi Tadhyeshi Bhakta Jitattva. He's showing. He can be conquered by bhakti. He's letting that lesson be known to those who are attached to the Lord and offering. So, it's not only Mother Yasoda's bhakti that is involved in this pastime. It is also the bhakti of Narada Muni. And it's also the bhakti of Kuvera. Kuvaratmaja, Padamujayava, Yadva. The two sons of Kuvera were sinful and they were cursed to take birth of trees. But Lord Damodar is thinking, they're the sons of my devotee Kuvera. I'm going to reciprocate with Kuvera and I'm going to rescue them. And also, even more importantly, Narada Muni, my devotee, has said that in the future these two boys who took the form of trees will be liberated by me. So, because of the bhakti of my Narada Muni, I'm going to knock down these trees and liberate these devotees. Therefore, what are we praying? Tata prema bhaktam svatam me priyashtra. Give me the same thing, Lord Damodar. Give me the prema. Give me the chance to be a devotee, just like you gave to Nalakubar and Manikita. Tata prema bhaktam svatam me priyashtra. I want the same thing. So this prayer is a heartfelt cry of a devotee who is perfectly in touch with existence, perfectly in harmony with the total manifestation of Krishna. Give me the same thing that you gave these devotees in Vrindavan. Once we understand the opulence and sweetness of the Lord, then Buddha Bhava Samandrita, then can arise the real emotions of the living entity, the Bhava Samandas of the Krishna conscious emotions, then our world is complete. Any questions? Yes.
the other things, but they have such personality and character that they're not just having nice people and they're having those stories and they're something fucking
make them nice things.
On the other hand, they're full of joy, like, great to see the nice things and they're very good. They are like most visual and spiritual my question is, what if you move those bad elements from one character to the process of suffering, religious capacity, to let you make a kind of psychological effort to recognize them and to change them consciously? And the idea of the other side is then, how do I just know that you are removing this part of your mind from one part of the religion to the side?
Okay, firstly, if you chant Hare Krishna seriously, in time you will see effects you never imagined. Our problem is we are very impatient. If you seriously every day try to chant Hare Krishna, you will see your heart change. And the glorious thing about Prabhupada's movement is that you're chanting Hare Krishna in a setting which is dedicated to distributing Krishna consciousness to others. Now, anyone who is actively engaged in distributing Krishna consciousness to others knows you can't do that continuously without your heart being soft. So never underestimate the power of Sankirtan, preaching Krishna consciousness. It will do the trick for your heart. It will soften it. Because if you're dedicated to carrying out Prabhupada's mission, your heart has to change. So don't discount, I'm not saying you're doing that, but don't discount people, devotees, don't discount the process of bhakti prematurely. It will act. Now, what we need to do is sincerely chant Hare Krishna and then put our hearts into spreading Lord Caitanya, Lord Nityananda, the ocean above of God to others. You'll see things happen. Now, in regards to your second question, well, you know, how do we, you know where we're at? Guidance is required in bhakti. That is essential. You must have some advice from above. And in this way, you can know where you're at and how you can make further progress. Even in the Bhagavatam, you see the greatest devotees like Mathura. They are asking questions to Maitreya. Prichit Maharaj is asking questions to Supriya Goswami. Although the Shastra says they're both on the same platform. So who are we to think that we can't take advice from our spiritual master, advice from the senior devotees? And don't think that, you know, you have to see all the senior devotees, you know, dancing at night in the rock of Lily before you can ask them an ordinary question about, you know, what's troubling you in the day. That life is not so complicated, you know? So, let's focus on the potency of bhakti yoga. It will get the job done. I'll conclude with that verse. Prabhupada spoke yesterday in the class we heard. It's a wonderful verse. Yathara pankaja palasa vilasa bhakja. The devotees are always focusing on the Lord's lotus feet, para pankaja. And in this way, the deep roots of material contamination are pulled out. Karmashayam Pratitam. The Santa, the devotees, they can uproot Pratitam. They can pull out this Karmashayam Pratitam, these desires for material enjoyment. Whereas others, like Yanis and Yogis, mystic Yogis, they can try so hard, but they can't do it, and therefore they're overwhelmed by the waves of sense gratification. It will happen if we do the process right, have no doubt. The process does work. All right. All glory to the Lord.